Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We've got a very interesting opening segment today, a very unique vignette that we are going to have for you right now. And I will tell you, this is, and I'm going to take him right up here. This is me. You want me to go to
it? You can do that. Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. You know, we're going to have an acting masterclass here because you never know how you're going to get a guest on one of these programs. And the fact is that this started out this way. We're huge fans of Better Call Saul, and we love that show. And then Rob comes to me and says there is an actor. He's a working actor that's been in a few episodes of Better Call Saul. He's also been on countless movies and television shows. And Rob says to me, "Do you remember the scene where Jimmy McGill is doing community service and he only gets like 10 minutes credit?" And
I have the clip, so it'll refresh people's minds.
Let me just, before you do that, before you just calm down.
Okay.
I know it's your neighbor. I just need you to take a break.
All right.
Okay. The fact is that Rob comes to me and says, "Do you remember the guy that was running the community service truck?" I said, "Yeah, he jumped off the screen. It's a small role, but I remembered it very vividly." And, Rob says to me, "Do you know that he lived next door to me? And would you like to get him on the show?" I said, "Of course I'd love to get him on the show." And I decided that immediately, without any hesitation, said, "Yeah, it's fantastic. Anybody associated with that kind of project and his body of TV work." The actor's name is Frank Diehl. And Frank, to me, is the definition of a working actor. And then when I started researching Frank Diehl, I found out, oh, my God, I'm going to have to really kiss his ass, because this my daughter is 24 hours away from going to Springboard up in New York for her 2-week internship. And then she's going to live in New York and try to be what this gentleman is. Frank Diehl, working actor and acting coach, acting teacher, Juilliard. This man has, his credentials are incredible, and we welcome him to the Mike O'Mara Show. Frank Diehl. It all started with Better Call Saul, and then Rob moved into the fact that you were next door neighbors with the Spiewak. That's all I got. That's your bio, but great to have you on the show, Frank. How are you?
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, the fact is...
Mike, one thing I got to interject. The last time I saw Rob, he was in his front yard across from my house in, like, a plastic diaper. Is he still wearing that?
Wow. But this was
2 years ago, Frank.
He was in the plastic diaper. So you lived next door to the fabulous Spiewak home and grew up. Did you grow up in the Northern Virginia area yourself, Frank?
Yeah, right next to Rob on the McLean-Arlington border.
It's just so funny to think you grew up next to the Spiewaks. Frank is, I want to make sure that I've got your credits correct here. You are a faculty member of the Juilliard School in the drama division. You've been with them since 2000. You've been a director. You've worked with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, everybody. You've done so much stage work. You've been on SVU. You're a working actor. And I think, Frank, would it be fair to say you have the kind of... you have the kind of celebrity where people will probably tap you on the shoulder and said, "Are you the guy that did that?" because of your body of character work, right?
It's funny because it doesn't happen so much in New York City, but when I'm outside the city, like traveling or going to a shoot, it happens more then because, you know, you pass in New York City so many people that, like, how do I know that dude or that woman, you know?
Yeah.
But I actually, I taught at Juilliard for 15 years, and before that at Yale School of Drama and NYU. But I stopped teaching last year to focus on acting full-time. So that was a tough break, but it actually has been working out really. I mean, it was run by an incredible guy, and it was a real community, and I'm single, so it was a real home for me. And but this year has just been incredible. And
you got a good agent, Frank. I'll tell you that. You got an agent that's keeping you on screen. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, and a manager, and I've got a new publicist, so.
Well, it's amazing, and usually you would think that you go in the other direction, where you get your work out of the way, and exactly. Then you go to teaching, as opposed to going in the opposite direction. What motivated you to go from an incredible teaching career, when you're talking about Yale School of Drama,
sure.
Juilliard, those are pretty impressive credentials. What made you want to? Did you want to just put your feet in the water and dive in full time yourself?
Well, it's a long story, but I came to New York after undergrad. And I had taken two introductory courses at a university that had no theater department. And I went home and told my parents, I said, well, what are you going to do? I was a political science public policy major. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And I'd given law school a little thought. And I said, I think I'm going to go to New York and be an actor.
They were thrilled, I'm sure. They were thrilled at that. I would have.
My dad talked to me to the wee hours like, are you out of your mind?
You know, I have, my bucket list, I have always said to myself, the last thing, doing the DJ career for my entire life and having back in the day, the extra roles going out and occasionally being, behind the scenes personnel, being an extra, getting a small speaking part here and there. I have always harbored a desire to jump in and to do some acting. I'm here to tell you, Frank, that your credentials, based on the, when you say Frank is the guy on the Liam Neeson movie Nonstop that gets the gun put in his face and has that brief encounter with Liam Neeson, and I said, oh, there's a lucky guy that got a nice break, and you figure, you just left the lunch truck and went down and hopped on.
Right.
I said, yeah, well, we'll put you in the plane here, and then I look at your credentials and I said, I'm not doing that. I'm 57 years old. This will never happen for me.
No, but you could do it because you have cred with. Your show is so well known, and I still have a lot of friends in the D.C. area, and I knew about your show, but when I mentioned it to people in that area, they were blown away. So
I will tell you this. You go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, in that last episode, the Sklar twins, who were the guitar owners who backed out of a shoot with Jimmy.
They're great.
Right.
So
Jimmy McGill.
Funny.
We're talking about Better Call Saul.
Well,
by the way, if you haven't seen this show, it's the greatest show on TV.
That's you. I mean, you could get that gig.
I'd love that. That
All
would
you
be
need,
just
Mike,
so
is a twin. If you had a twin, yeah, then you
twin.
Could do it.
And yeah,
I would do
you
it.
And Rob.
So you're on, you've done a lot of stage work. You've done a tremendous amount of stage directing. And I'm going to put on my dad hat right now as my daughter dives in to New York City after graduating with honors in theater from Mary Washington. I'm very proud of her. I will give her a plug. One of the things about, and I hate to get inside the actor's studio on everybody right now, but I have a tremendous amount of esteem for people that do what you do, because I believe it is one of the most difficult things to do, especially when you're talking about film or television. And stage work is its own separate entity. But I have a tremendous amount of esteem, and I think about it a lot more than people that are listening would ever wonder when I'm watching a film. Just how you get to where you're going to get to. And I guess I'm leading up to this question, Frank, because you've been a teacher and an acting coach for so long. What is there any prime directive for anyone that would ever choose to get into the business of acting, to do this for a living? Is there any prime directive, one general thing that you tell everybody before they even get out of the box?
The one thing that took me quite a while to learn, because I was up here just winging it. I didn't know a single soul in New York. And for 5 years, I was just winging it. And I went to every single non-equity, the non-union, right. Open call. If it was for three women, I'd go to it. and then I got into the equity is the acting union, and I got into, they used to do every year a production, and they did Chekhov's Three Sisters. And I had a small role in it, and they take a few non-union. They take like two or three, and they put them in, you know, kind of walk-on parts.
Right.
And as I studied the people in the main parts, the one thing that was clear was they all had classical training.
Okay.
But the one thing I tell people, like, I used to do a lot of coaching. I do less now because, fortunately, I'm working a lot.
Right.
But the one thing that took me forever to learn, because after I got my MFA from the Tisch School of the Arts, I didn't get an agent. And I was like, what the hell? I just dropped, you know, so much money. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I never understood the business end of it. And I thought it was kind of like prostituting yourself to kind of, you know, or compromising your art to be too heavy-handed in their area. Like, I just thought, oh, yeah, the work will show, and they'll come to me. And
okay.
I didn't even think it through. So my biggest, the thing I would recommend is you have to be your own best manager. And to work as much as you can, constantly work begets work. But the other thing is, I don't care if you're with William Morris and, you know, whoever.
Right.
But, you know, you are the CEO of your business. And it took me, when I got out of grad school, because I didn't get an agent, I directed for 10 years and I started teaching.
So, I mean, are you saying that you would, or I understand the classical training, getting as much training, then working as much as you can, no matter what, you know, not think you're going to get the, you know, the $10 million acting contract right out of school. So you work, and then would you have, if you had to do it again, would you have grabbed an agent right away when you got started?
No, an agent doesn't necessarily get you anything. Okay. You can just wallow. You know, everyone thinks like an agent is crucial, but the agent works for you, but up here is there such a glut of actors, and also in L.A. and everywhere,
mm-hmm. right.
that, you know, they don't, you may just, they may sign you or even freelance with you, but you got to think of, and that's what I mean about the CEO, is they're getting 10% of what you make, and so you've got to be, like, telling them what you want.
Okay.
You know, and
so you've got to go out, you've got to get the auditions, you've got to track it down.
You're
the
one that's got to
be.
You, yeah.
It's like anything else, probably in life. You got to be your own advocate. We're talking to Frank Deal, who is a recurring role on Better Call Saul. He has also been Special Agent O'Connell on Law and Order, SVU, guest spots on The Blacklist, The Nick, Hostages, Alpha House, Boardwalk Empire. It goes on and on. He's been in great films. You know, he starred with Liam Neeson. He's been on, I assume you've been done stage work with De Niro and Pacino and Christopher Walken, and it goes on and on. And we haven't mentioned it even once during this interview, probably by design, that Frank actually tragically grew up next to the Spiewak household suburbs of Northern
Virginia. My dad insisted I bring up one thing, and I do have a question about Better Call Saul, but I do have to say that Frank's parents, who we've mentioned already, had a great reputation for entertaining, and because of the proximity of their house to a big ditch on Park Road where we lived, it was very common for my father to get a call on Friday and Saturday evenings. Bob, can you help us? Another car is in the ditch. And he would have to go and get my grandfather's tractor to pull the cars out of the ditch. But
a sweet memory. God.
Yes, but Mr. Deal had a generous pour.
Ditches. Those were serious ditches. Those were dirt ditches that went down like about 10 feet.
Yeah, they were big. They were big and hard to judge. I have a question about Better Call Saul. You have such a great chemistry when you're on with Bob Odenkirk, and I know he comes from a background of improv and stand-up, and obviously you did a lot of improv in your training. How much improv is there on the set of Better Call Saul? Because the scripts are, they come off as amazingly tight. I mean, it's one of the best written shows I've ever seen. But is there some improv? Is there some looseness on the set that allows you to sort of see where a scene will go?
Well, as you very astutely recognized, that script is locked.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a script supervisor, and you change one word, even if it's the, and they let you know. But
Bob gets to do whatever he wants.
You know? Yeah, Star has its privileges right there.
That, and he improved them. He's like you say. It's so interesting because I knew him back when he was more like, doing all these comedy gigs,
right,
and improv stuff. But he's a phenomenal, obviously, actor, dramatic actor, and his instincts are just so good.
I really want to, if you don't mind, while we stay on the subject, Rob, is it Gilligan we're talking about?
Vince Gilligan, yeah.
Vince Gilligan. Being part of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, being part around that, which really, and I've talked to a lot of people, arguably, probably the best television that's been made in the last 10 years. And to be around that kind of creative process, I would imagine that the energy must be amazing.
Oh, and that character, that's a really interesting point, because that character I did, like, that's the first what character actors call transformational acting. Most stars, they're just themselves, when you see them, they rarely play someone very different than them.
Right.
That dude that I played is really, like, it wasn't close to me at all.
Right.
And, I always called the tractor to get me out of the ditch. But seriously, I figured that guy lived in Albuquerque on the outskirts, picked up a six pack on his way home and, made his wife bring the TV dinner.
We're listening to character analysis now. This is how he gets into the mood for the character. What type would you, Frank, I'm asking because I watched your reel and I don't think I'd be hard pressed after watching your reel to put a sentence down where I could necessarily pigeonhole you. I think you make a good cop. I think you do a great, you seem to get these supervisory authoritarian role. Yeah, it's kind of a variation on a cop when you're out there with the crew on Better Call Saul. Do you have, when you're going to describe your work and how people would look for you, are you, what guy are you in all these TV and movie roles that we see?
That's such a fun question because now I'm at the point in my career where I'm getting the opportunities to look at things that that I want to do as opposed to what's being offered. And initially it was always like I had a recurring role in SVU back in 2000. And I was, of course, an ADA.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it's just pretty much talking to a judge or
Right.
Richard Thomas almost killed me one time on that show.
John
literally. John Boy, exactly. Who was a fine actor, but we were doing this. I was representing him, and he had syphilis of the brain or something.
Oh,
he was
no.
Christian freak. And I'm representing him, and he's he's in the latter stages of it. He's going to love me for this. And he's in the latter stages of it, and he's killed somebody, and I'm representing him. And we broke because, all the fights are choreographed. And he quickly says to the director, no, I got this, I got this. And we just started filming again, and he didn't tell me anything. And then so he does the hit. And I fall backwards, and my head missed one of those heavy, heavy, the lawyer's tables?
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. It's 3 inches thick. And my head missed that, and everyone gasped. And the director goes, cut, brilliant printing.
Acting.
And then the blonde woman who was on for years, who was the district attorney, said to me, are you all right? I said, why? And she goes, you almost got your head split.
That's what makes it credible. That's what makes it credible. But, it's fun to do. And, what an incredible body of work you have. And it's so neat that you're I think with the type of roles you're getting now, we're going to see a lot more of Frank Diehl. And the fact that living next to the Spiewaks really didn't hold you back that much, I think that's what
I think it really advanced him, actually.
As well. Hey, Frank, all right, before we let you go, I do want a last thing here. It says you've been you're teaching and being taught play at the Juilliard School's drama division. Do you still dabble in teaching at all? Do you still keep your hand in that?
When I have time, but, you know, it's, I thought things have just accelerated so quickly because I guess the industry knew me more as a teacher, actor, or actor teacher, and so I kind of split time. But once I designed this course called Play when I went to Juilliard, and it's really just getting back in touch with how kids play, you know, kind of, they don't worry about mistakes, they just worry about having fun, and or they don't even worry about it, they just do it. But
so you just get up on stage and just improv, is that what that is? You kind of
It's like actors now, like young actors, even older actors, they'll always like make a misstep on set or on stage and say, oh, I'm sorry. And that's the kernel, in my opinion, of genius. Like, because usually a really damn good director will say that's what's going to make this production live, what you just did.
Something that's like off script, something that is a little different than
real,
the norm.
Something real.
But just to, for the parents that might be shelling out a lot of money, it's not a bunch of kids that are you know, walking into a classroom and picking their nose and eating sand, right? I mean, this is a when you
Mike,
say play,
the curriculum is based on fidget spinners.
No, actually, I'm reading a play that an ex-student of mine wrote, you know, many moons ago, and I mean, she was a student of mine many moons ago, but it's a hilarious play about AA and. And I play the head of the AA group, but I also play an acting teacher. And, you know, it's the quintessential, like, feel the wave, you know, feel the breeze. You're on a beach. Oh, my God. You know, pick up that conch shell. And then, oh, my God, but there's a live mollusk in it. It's eating your ears. You know, and that stuff is so fun to do. I just shot this new pilot called The Next Big Thing, and it's a comedic role. And I love comedy, and now I'm really getting a chance to do it. And I run a game, like a gamer store.
Oh.
Like the comic book guy. And
sure. Right.
And, like, I don't have a clue what anything's really about, but all the, you know, 20-somethings are, like, totally, I don't know what they're talking about, but I just want to make money and like score with their mothers. And we shot it in Atlantic City last week, and this brilliant young guy wrote it, another ex-student, and it's called The Next Big Thing. And and then, you know, I have this recurring role on The Americans. And I just got
another
promoted.
Great show. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, for the final season. So I hopefully will be. I've done about 4 or 5 episodes, but I just got promoted from the Afghan head of the CIA Afghan group. And I got a promotion in the final episode coming up. Just aired, actually, where I get promoted to the head of the Soviet group. And I'm hoping with Mr. Trump's fabulous work. that's going to be a huge plot line in next season.
Yeah, I think. Hey, count on it. I think you're going to be okay there. Frank Diehl. Remember that name, ladies and gentlemen. It's Frank Diehl. Lived next to the Spiewaks growing up and has been on Better Call Saul and countless other TV projects. Frank, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And I will share some of your wisdom with Catherine and tell her to audition, and work, and get up to New York as soon as she can. Thank you, sir. And we appreciate you taking
the time. Have her look me up. I'd be more than happy.
You know,
that's awesome.
I wasn't going to ask, but now that mentioned,
my
daughter is Catherine O'Mara. That's the name. Remember that, and I will definitely speak to her this
overnight.
Afternoon.
A headshot, Mike. And since he said that, we should say that Better Call Saul returns to AMC on Monday, June 5th. That's at 10 p.m. 9 Central. And you have a key scene this week, don't you, Frank?
Yeah, Jimmy becomes Saul in the final episode where we go head to head.
Awesome.
Oh, fantastic. So look for a Frank
Diehl. I got to tell you one unbelievable, because you're fans.
Yes.
One unbelievable thing I found out about Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, that when I was shooting out there in December and January, you know how the New Mexico landscape and everything is like such an integral part of the show.
Yeah, the look of the show, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The look, yeah. And when Gilligan wrote it, Breaking Bad, he had it
he was dead set on L.A. And the producer said, we'd rather shoot it. We're going to shoot it in New Mexico. And he almost pulled the plug on the project because he said, no, it has to be L.A. Oh, and then they did the pilot in New Mexico. And he goes, I guess I was wrong.
A master of understatement. Yeah. There. It's fantastic. We'll look for you in this week's episode. And, Frank, I'll look for you in more things coming up. And thanks for so much for telling us all about the working actor world. And really, next time you get back into town, come by and see us, okay?
I'd love to.
Thank you. Frank Diehl, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Bob, that's your neighbor growing up.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
They had the coolest blue Christmas lights you ever saw. Great house.
the things that Rob Spiewak remembers. And really, how about that? Look at that working actor, all these TV shows. What happened to you?
I don't know, Mike. But apparently, if I can play your twin, we can get work.
I'm very excited. Hey, the Sklar brothers, I've interviewed them. You're goddamn right I can do a better job. Absolutely.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, I think that is extremely rude. Noticing other women when you're with me.
I think we're going to have to get drunk.
I don't get drunk, and I don't care for escorts who do.
You got me into this, and you're just going to have to trust me about this. It's one thing. You need a lot of drinks.
To break the ice.
To kill the bug that you have up your ass.
May I get you something?
Yes, I think I will have some bourbon.
Just great. Fine.
Great! You're parked in my driveway. You're breaking the law. Thank you.
Would you like to come in?
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Everything would have been just fine, you know, if you hadn't gotten drunk. I just didn't want you to think I was like one of your other girls.
Not much danger in that unless you curtsy on my face real soon.
Garrett, what is it that makes you so insistent on shocking and insulting me? I mean, I really hate that way of talking. You must know that. Why do you do it?
I'll tell you, Rory. I don't know what it is about you, but you do bring out the devil in me.
Why should I? Why should I be happy about being a grandmother?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. If you're here, you're in the...
Yeah.
We are on air on demand and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and today we are brought to you by Omaha Steaks.
Mm.
Here is a Father's Day pro tip. Dad loves steak.
Mm. Dad loves steak. Look at what I have created. I have made fire.
I'm doing a castaway bit there. Steak, perfect gift for dad. This Father's Day, you can get our limited edition Father's Day package for only $49.99. Just go to omahasteaks.com and enter TMOS in the search bar. Omaha Steaks is grilling Nirvana.
Oh, the best.
And everything has a 100% unconditional guarantee. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an amazing limited time offer to our listeners. 80% off.
What?
Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 boneless pork chops.
The best pork chops ever.
4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, plus 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a full pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus... 4 additional burgers because they just didn't think what they were giving you was enough.
More!
And then and they're giving those to you free. We all got this package. It's amazing. It's filled up my freezer.
Yes.
I'm going to enjoy it all summer long. Dad can eat like a king for days for only $49.99. Get this limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type in the TMOS in the search bar and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Only $49.99. Don White! This offer ends soon. OmahaSteaks.com. Type in TMOS in the search bar and tell Dad to fire up the grill.
We got that package. Julia started circling the freezer like she was moving in for the kill. She's so excited. Very excited. She loves the steak. Good stuff.
Really, really, we tried real hard to make sure that we maintained our relationship with Omaha Steaks. We are thrilled to death to have them. I was thrilled to talk to a cool kind of working actor. You know, it's very hard to describe Frank Diehl, but unfortunately...
You did it with working actor. And you know what? That is a weird sort of, not insulting weird, but just a peculiar subculture above like the megastar, because you recognize him. You do recognize his face when you see him.
Well, here's the thing. He gets lots of work. He is he's a guy that's been, semi-regular on these television series, and he's been featured in movies. He gets a gun stuck in his face in Nonstop, great thriller with Liam Neeson. And the fact is, you know, I'm like, okay. And I swear to God, Rob, when I went to check out his bio, I said, okay. You know, this is a guy, probably was an extra, got elevated. No, this guy's, this training, I will remember what he said when I give Catherine the contact.
I'll make sure you get the contact today. Information when I speak to him today.
But he said the training. It is not, one of the things that Don and I used to disagree on all the time, you remember this because you were in the room.
Right.
Don always thought that that acting was just, easy as 1, 2, 3. And I always disagree with that. I always thought really to do it at a high level, to be credible, you have to really just, their techniques.
Absolutely.
And there is training involved in doing that to make it easy. I think there are natural actors out there. I mean, Cher comes to mind as somebody that didn't have any formal training and dove into Moonstruck and won an Academy Award. That's so very, very rare.
It's very rare.
So it's fascinating to me to talk to a working actor and get somebody that actually knows the ropes.
And a guy who did it kind of backwards.
Yeah, because he dove into the whole theater side and then directing, but the credentials,
amazing.
Yale School of Drama and Juilliard. When you dove into his bio, first of all, how did the interview come about? Because you got the interview for us. How did you stumble upon this?
I saw him on Better Call Saul, and I said... Right.
Oh, so you recognize him from childhood when you saw him on Better
when
Call
I saw, Saul. I recognized his face, and then I saw his name in the credits, and I said, that's who it is. That's Frank.
My kids didn't believe me
that I knew him.
Did you know growing up that Frank had gone off to Hollywood?
I knew that he was doing a lot of stage work. The last I'd really heard from him, he was doing Mr. Roberts at a run at the Kennedy Center, which was a big deal, and a lot of people in my family went and saw him. And I actually, before I reached out to him, I called my Aunt Gail, because I think she was in the same class with him at Madison, at
McLean. How old is Frank?
Frank would be born 1958.
So he's a year older than me.
So he's a contemporary of my Aunt Gail. And I called Gail and I said, did you go to Frank Diehl? Were you in his class at McLean? She says, I think he was younger than me, but I definitely dated him.
Wow. Well, that was fun. That was very, very cool. And he was real generous with his time.
Generous and a nice
good
guy.
Get.
Thank
good
you.
Get.
Thank you.
Don't rest on your laurels. Okay.
Well,
with that. I mean, that really is, you know, if it wasn't the Spiewak connection, you know, people, but still with the Better Call Saul, the way we determine it on the Mike O'Mara Show, the way I determine it actually is, you get the mega, mega, mega star and it's always a yes. You're going to do that.
You get
somebody that's a Chuck Todd of this world. It's automatically yes. Then you kind of get a lot of people that are available, but the way we determine it, we have to be incredibly passionate about one of their projects. And this was begat from our incredible joy of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, which is still, I think, the best writing and directing on television. I don't think there's any better.
Between that and between Breaking Bad, Saul, and have you checked out any of the new House of Cards?
I have not.
It's starting strong. As you know, the president will be joining us on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yes. President Francis Underwood will be joining us on Monday.
I'm so excited about that. Wink, wink. You actually sold me on that. That's why Rob can really BS me after all these years. Oh, really?
Well, we had mentioned that the president would be in, but we wanted to make sure you were rested up for the appearance.
We've got a big show today. Oscar returns, by the way, on Monday from his vacay, and the whole gang will be back together on Monday's show.
Can't wait.
Because I have been nursing myself back to health down here, didn't want to do a bonus show this week, but I came up with the idea of having our interns do...
Smart man.
A bonus show. Rob called it Internal Affairs, and it hits today after this show, the bonus show. If you've not subscribed, another reason, another excuse to get our bonus show content, because you're telling me that it went pretty well.
Pony and I laughed our asses off.
Yes.
There were seven interns plus me and Pony in this tiny room.
How did you possibly wrangle them? Did you do much directing behind the scenes when you had the interns doing
it? I did an introduction. And I think I called in maybe three comments through the show. But Matt Dodson really came to play. He was a good anchor. And Emmy put in some strong direction as well.
I thought you had dubbed Emmy as the...
Well, she led and closed the show, but Dodson grabbed the reins, and I wasn't there to stop him. But everybody
Dodson's
had their moments.
Dodson's a smart kid. Yeah, Dodson's a smart kid. Rofo, did you sit in on this project as well?
No, I let everybody down. I had to work.
I'm not so sure that let anybody down.
We
have a promo coming up, but per your request, I did pull a clip. The bonus show. This was the closing of the show, and the question that Emmy brought up was, what does each intern bring to the show?
Okay.
So it was a chance for every intern to sing their own praises.
So if you've not subscribed to the Mike O'Mara Show Bonus Hour, I recommend you do it. This is our weekly bonus show that keeps our little engine running, and this particular week, none of the principal characters. This is just intern freeform. And here is a clip from Internal Affairs. The Mike O'Mara Show interns take the mic. Let's listen.
I think what I bring to the show is charisma.
What does that mean?
I think I hold myself with more confidence on the microphone than most people.
Okay.
I don't address Mike sir every time. I try to talk to him as if we're working together.
So, I'm sorry, I'm trying to show some respect.
I respect Mike O'Mara more than anyone else on the planet.
Okay.
So do not try and detriment that.
Dawson, who are you mad at? Why do you want to punch everybody today?
I don't want to punch anyone.
Who are you mad at?
I'm mad at you. Okay.
I think I bring the celebrity lookalike persona to the show.
Adam,
I think.
Dan O'Brien?
No, that's Adam.
That's Adam.
I think me personally, I think that I'm just the great butt of the joke for the show.
Smack.
No, Dan O'Brien. Dan,
I can't keep
him
straight.
I think right now I've just become the punching bag as well as Dan.
That's
with
Mac.
A few stories in between, and also the rival of Oscar Santana.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I think I bring two very important things.
Ashley.
One of which is estrogen.
Yeah.
We need that.
The other thing I bring to the show is my absolute eloquency with words.
Eloquency.
Word of the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
The more you know. And I mean.
Yeah, I think I am with Ashley. I'm bringing in some feminine charm to the show.
Max, not alone.
Yeah.
Between the three of us ladies, I just want to say it's pretty testosterone filled in this room.
I bring hard work. I bring dedication. I bring a sense of urgency. I bring so many amazing things. I bring everything to the table.
And a solid finish to a joke.
Get a full hour of the interns. There's a game. There is some discussion of dealing with neighbors. But my favorite stuff is the intern-to-intern dynamic. You're going to like it. Yeah,
I love it. That's fantastic. Good job, kids. Way to go. Rofo, you kind of bummed out you missed out on that yesterday?
It would have been fun. But I get to sit in Oscar's chair today, so, you know, it's not a total loss.
I get to look at your pretty little face during the entire
You're
little.
Welcome.
As I sit in my reclining position. We will take a break, come back with more. We're playing a little game. Are we playing a little game today?
We can play a game when we return.
Mike O'Mara Show with Family Feud coming up right here. Fast Money Family Feud on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I wanted to play a game with y'all if you guys are prepared. This game is called Who Said It?
Wait, so these are Facebook posts that each host of the show has posted on Facebook?
Not necessarily a host, just anybody, interns in general. Adrian, this is a pretty easy one.
Your first guess.
Quote is, get
Whoa.
Zang.
Whoa.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's easy.
Well, I have to think of someone that says Zang a lot, so who could that be?
That's definitely a Mac thing. Mac, if you had a catchphrase, what do you think it would be?
fuck you.
Whoa. Yeah. I thought it was mom. I'll be done in a minute.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. They got 5 hours a week. Just
Adrian had some good
always
ones.
Available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Pony and I were talking about Adrian. Is he so smart that he's at ease in front of the mic, or is he just so stupid he doesn't know to be nervous?
It was amazing.
I think he's smart. He just, if only he could articulate. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. Here it is, plain and simple. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. With Stamps.com, you can mail any letter or package just by using your computer and your printer. And when the mailman picks it up, it's that easy. No more post office. Mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, anything.
Anything
domestic or international. Just click, print, mail, and you are there. You are there. I shake it up, baby, now. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. It's easy to create your Stamps account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Convenient, easy, reliable, and flexible. That's Stamps.com. They even send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. We have used Stamps.com forever.
The best.
It's easy, convenient, saves us money and time. Right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com and enter TMOS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again, ever. I talked about during my
convalescence.
I've really
Do you prefer that word
TV.
To all the other words when you were convalescing?
I like it because it just makes you sound more Phoebe. But by the way, make no mistake about it. I am Johnny Phoebe. When you're walking to your mailbox with a walker, you are a Phoebe. And
but you need to do that. You need to do that. And
you gotta get it done, and then I'll be transitioning to a cane, and then after that, I'm gonna be under my own power, and then after that, I'll be swimming from Key West to Cuba. So I'm really excited about
it. I look forward to seeing you oiled up.
I talked about my TV viewing habits while I've been convalescing. That is Family Feud and also Clint Eastwood movies. I watched...
What era Clint Eastwood movie?
All of them. I'll watch anything from Clint Eastwood. I watched Pale Rider the other day.
Great
which,
film.
By the way, great film, but to be honest with you, terrible ending. I mean, if you've... and sorry, spoiler alert for a film that was released like 50 years ago. Clint Eastwood kills everybody in town and then just rides away.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. And say, we love you, preacher. And then he's gone. And that's all there to it. And really kind of a little Oedipus taboo, underage lust factor.
Well, the thing about Clint Eastwood Westerns.
Right up to they walk right up to the line with it. You know, where basically the 14-year-old kid comes out to Clint Eastwood and says, you know, I want to do it with you. And, you know, he moves off of that, but it was a little dicey for a second.
Yeah, you don't see that in a John Wayne Western.
No, John Wayne would never, you know, flirt with pedophilia.
Well, maybe never. Rooster Cogburn, but that's it.
A different time.
Very different. Different rules.
So Family Feud, though, is what we're
you
watching.
You might want to turn around there.
I'm going to wrestle you a grizzly and kiss you a pretty girl, and I hope I don't get the two mixed up. Anyway, Family Feud and Steve Harvey. By the way, would you like to see my visual impression of Steve Harvey?
Oh, it's a great video day.
On
yeah,
Family Feud. That's Steve
but
Harvey.
Remember yesterday we got that great letter in the mailbag that he is a foul-mouthed Christian host.
Yes, it's great. It's great. He's a man of so many contradictions. He's angry because he's a DJ and he's a stand-up comedian, and he's been doing this for a long time, and even the success not making him happy. And you know, he's got that persona where he's Steve Harvey, and I still think Steve Harvey can be brilliantly funny on that show, but it didn't surprise me when all the stories came out where behind the scenes he's a bit of a nad.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact is, come on, keep being a nad behind the scenes, okay? Because this is Steve Harvey finally achieving the level of success where now the subordinates are going to throw the darts at him.
Of course.
You know, something where fortunately, you know, you, Pony, Oscar, anyone, Rofo, you know, you guys leave and decide you want to bitch about me. The fact is, it doesn't work.
Should
nobody
it ever
pay attention
should
to
it ever happen?
Yes, right. It's never going to hurt me because none of us are at the level where people are going to give a rat's ass.
We've got elephant skin.
Yeah, we've got elephant skin, but also the level of you know, detractors and trying to throw their darts. Well, it's called the Realm Network. Okay? And the fact is, it you know, it's nobody pays attention anyway. So
is that still around?
I believe it is.
I hear it was a million-dollar business.
Ah.
Okay, now let's not pile on, shall we? Okay, let's not.
He really picks his moments, doesn't he?
I know he does. He's
just comes in once a month, sits in Oscar's chair.
Yeah,
he's a podcast file. So what are we going to be doing today, Lord Quizmaster?
Well, today we're going to marvel at the fact that Pony has never seen an episode of Family Feud ever.
An episode?
An episode of Family Feud. I tried to do an Oscar rhyming couplet.
Pony... I mean, Family Feud.
Come on, man.
It's been around for... do you watch a lot of television?
Do you have a television?
I mean, when I was a kid, I watched like Double Dare and stuff on Nickelodeon. I didn't really watch a lot of regular game shows except for Price is Right.
I forget that he is so much younger that he did not exist in the three-channel world.
Yeah, see, the three-channel world, you could not avoid game shows.
Yeah.
You would be addicted to game shows, and I think they count on that. And if you watch the Game Show Network, watch their advertising. They are skewing to yours truly.
Yep.
They are the land
lawyers.
Of the elderly. They are the land. No, drug companies.
But occasionally there's the malpractice for, like, vaginal mesh.
Yeah. Has Xarelto caused a brain bleed with you? Like that. That's the land that we live in with that. And the fact is that I think that's the nostalgia fact. And the people that are watching the game show, they try to hip it up with some of these terrible game shows with terrible hosts that they put on the game
show. I hate when they try to reimagine a game show.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun. So I've been watching Family Feud because I'm bored and TV sucks and you can only watch so much CNN.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Harvey's been in it and Carla gets overwhelmed with everything. And this is something we have bonded on. And so we've been watching the feud. So I was the one to coin Fast Money yesterday the fact that you know you're a fan of Family Feud when you can actually know what Fast Money is.
Exactly.
It's the lightning round that they do for the big money at the end.
Now, I'm curious, Emmy, you are how old? You're 20?
I'm 19.
19. Are you familiar with Family Feud?
I've seen it a few times at, like, doctor's offices, but that's about it.
Oh, my God.
Of course she's seen it at a doctor's office.
At a doctor's office.
All right, so, Mike, do you want to do a round of Fast Money since you are our primary star here?
Yeah, now, Fast Money normally works where we try with two people to get to 200 points. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but I think we could probably dumb it down and say, can you get to 100? And then we can, that way no one has to leave the room.
But that really wouldn't be true to Fast Money, would it?
So, Pony, you're going to be leaving the room.
Okay, then.
No. Did you set it up where you wanted to do it to 100?
I was thinking that would be the easiest and most streamlined way to do it.
I think that's fine. I think that's going to actually...
But the only reason it takes away from it is that it doesn't...
Rehearsal, I'm processing it right now, and I'm thinking, technically, so if I get 100 points, I win.
Exactly.
And then I move on to the next Fast Money category.
Exactly.
So, I get to go first, and we'll see what happens. And do you want me to hit the dinger for you while we're doing this?
You can. I have a 20-second TikTok, because I believe the current rules, it used to be 15 and 20.
Yes.
But now it is, the first one gets 20 seconds.
Who is going to record this? I see Rofo in his pure reclining position right now, so get ready to get a pen out
and write down my answers. Write down his answers. Okay.
You ready for this, Rofo?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm ready, Rob Spiewak.
He brought a little of his Tony Perkins Show attitude there.
Yeah, kind of that swaggery. You know, he like lumbers over to get his pen.
As I said, once a month.
Is that a lamp next to him? What is next to his computer? What is that thing that I'm
wearing? Well, I got a water bottle. I got a coffee. I got a charger. I got all kinds of things set up here. I haven't really moved in.
What is it?
I don't know what you're talking about. This thing?
Immediate. Yeah, that. What is that, a coffee
cup? That's a coffee cup.
Okay, it was just sort of fluorescent.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready to play now. Enough of my ADD.
Fair enough.
Mike, 100 people surveyed. No, that's what they say for the other one. This is time for Fast Money. Are you ready? The clock begins with your first answer, okay?
Yeah, are you going to hit the sound effect?
I am, but the clock begins with your first answer. So
okay.
We haven't started yet. Besides money, name something you wish you had more of.
Time.
In what month do you start your Christmas shopping?
Hold on a second. We're going to start again. Stop the clock.
Stop the clock.
That's not the Family Feud ticker, is it?
Well, I mean, it's a TikTok.
It's a TikTok. It's a terrible TikTok. I mean, if you're going to have a TikTok, you ought to have a real, you ought to have one like that.
You want to go with that one?
Well, yours is terrible. Yours sounds like a 60 minutes on heroin. What's going on with that?
I think it would be great if a contestant said this to Steve Harvey. I don't like your TikTok.
I vote for Mike's tick.
Shut up.
Do you have a buzzer handy?
I do.
Like a manual buzzer that you can hit like this? Or
That's the actual feud buzzer.
I'll hit the TikTok. We're at what, 18 seconds now?
We'll start again, and you can just do the time, and then it will.
All right, we'll play your crappy little ticker. I hate it.
No, you don't. Don't play my. Play your ticker.
No, because I've got a 60-second one. I'm not going to run sound effects while I'm playing the game. I can only give so much.
You're a man of many talents.
Thank you. Look at Pony. Look at Pony. Like, stop the show and really think I was getting angry there.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Do you
very
ever?
Scary.
Yeah. Well, welcome to your world.
Games are fun.
All right. Very good. All right. Here we go.
And rules are in place to make sure we have the most
fun.
All
right. I'll go with your ticker as long as you make it loud and we can hear the.
All right. I'll maximize the volume.
Thank you.
All right. Besides money, name something you wish
time.
You had more. In what month do you start your Christmas shopping?
October.
Name something you don't want to be in the middle of doing when the fire alarm goes off at the office.
Taking a shower.
Okay. Name something you might find on a person's arm.
A tattoo.
Name a job you should never apply for if you don't like waking up.
Oh, shoot. Whoa. Okay. I get a zero. What was the last one?
You can answer it, but it won't count. Name a job you should never apply for if you don't like waking up early.
Prostitute.
Or staying up late.
Hey, do we have to go to break after this, right? Do we?
You know what? Let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll reveal your answers.
Oh, what a tease that is.
We'll I like
take
that.
A break. All right. Fantastic. Hey, everybody. Sounds of Thomas Dolby. Friday afternoon. Power 105 WAVA. Hope you're having a great time. I'm Mike O'Mara sitting in lawn furniture to do this show. It's the only chair I could find that was comfortable in the house. Glad to be with Science Thomas Dolby on Power 105. Don't forget, we'll be at the Chili Kickoff this weekend. You get a chance to take a look at the fabulous new Power Porsche from all of us here at WAVA. Leading up to next week's chance for you to win a key that'll give you a chance to unlock the Power Porsche and be driving home in that baby on WAVA. Hope you look forward to it. Right now, I'm going to take a little break. Give you the forecast of WAVA. Sunny, hot, enjoy it. Memorial Day a week later. Whoa. Anyway, oh, it's still going on. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you're having a fantastic. Turn it up for me, Rob. Just a little bit. There we go. Yeah, that's right. Thomas Solby, glad to be with science from your friends with the Power Porsche. Power 105 WAVA.
All right. Thank you. Love it. Yeah.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm in a bit of a jam, and I can only make one phone call, and it has to be quick, so here goes. Word on the street has it that Mike and the guys are taking phone calls Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. sharp. Here's what I need you to do. Call in at 1-888-920-MORE. Ask a question. Say hi. Share an anecdote, but don't say first time, long time. Know what I mean? Hey, thanks, man. I gotta go.
Wide Open Wednesdays on the Mike O'Mara Show. Call early and call often.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do you have a business, a product, or a message that you need to let people know about? Do I sound a little muddy today by any chance?
I think you sound good.
All right, just checking. The best place to do it might be right here. You know that the Mike O'Mara Show is like family. Yes, we are. And each and every day, the family gets together to talk about the things that are important to them. Well, one of those things we could discuss is your business. You could get in on a TMOS show. Oh, whoa. And let me read the sentence correctly.
Okay.
You could get an ad on TMOS and thousands of like-minded folks could hear it and act on it. All right. I would have put a comma or a period after you could get an ad on TMOS. But there's an and. Oh, forget it. You'll reach thousands of friends you didn't know you had. It's easy to get your message out. Just email us at sales@mikeomarashow.com. The bottom line, email sales@mikeomarashow.com. I don't care if you want to buy one commercial, you want to buy five, you want to buy 10, you want to get your message out there. You want to talk about the Skolopnik family reunion. It doesn't matter. We'll take
Is that coming up?
That's it, the Skolopnik family reunion.
I can't wait. The best potato salad.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, mention that Mrs. Lipschitz is, having her 50th year retirement party, it doesn't matter to me. You know, hey, you want to promote your class reunion, Mrs. Lipschitz.
Doris Lipschitz.
Doris Lipschitz. Doris Gwendolyn Lipschitz. 1944 to 19. All right. Anyway, we're in the middle of Family Feud, and we only have a few minutes left for Fast Money. The last time you want to give my answers again?
We will recap them as we go through. I'll give you something that you're going to love to hear, Mike. You had a lot of number one answers.
Really?
Yes, you did. Ooh. You did very well.
Let's
All right.
see what happened.
Let's review Mike's scores. Besides money, name something that you wish you had more of. Mike said...
Time.
Time. Number one answer, Mike.
How much?
30 points.
30. Okay.
30. In what month do you start your Christmas shopping? Mike said.
October.
Number one answer. 31 points.
I got 61 already. I'm on my way to 100.
100. Name something you don't want to be in the middle of doing when the fire alarm goes off at the office. Mike said.
Taking a shower.
I'm afraid that is not on the board. using the bathroom, number one answer there.
That is
using the showers in the bathroom, but I think we all know where they were going. So
that's
no points
why if
there
was ever a fire at the WJFK studios, Eric Bickle would be gone.
Now, number four, name something you might find on a person's arm. Mike said?
A tattoo.
Tattoo, number one answer, 43 points for a total of 104. Hey, it doesn't matter that you ran out of time, Mike. You won the brand new Buick.
That's right. So they have a car.
It's
all right,
a car.
So who plays now?
I think I'd like Pony to play.
Okay. Let's have Pony Boy Matt Bloom play.
All because right, he's good. Never seen the game. Do you follow the way the game works?
Yes.
Okay, here's what's going to happen, Matt.
Get your hands off the keyboard.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to answer it.
Okay.
That's how it works.
It's so painful for him to participate in the show.
He loves screen time. Is what he likes being on screen.
I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Your voice has gotten so high.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Let's do this thing.
Okay. Fast money for Matt Bloom. Put 20 seconds on the clock, please. The clock will start when you get the first question. That's an organic TikTok. Mike, I got it right here. All right, Pony Boy.
Yeah, I'll do yours.
Man, come on. Help me out here.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right. Give me a nickname.
You got the guest. Did everything for the show today. I'm grateful.
All right, Pony.
Yes.
Give me. That was sincere. Here's Pony's first question. How can you tell when Mike is being sincere?
I can't.
That's my reflecting on all the things I've done for you, Laugh. That's it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, Pony Boy. Give me a nickname for someone who is careful with their money.
Stingy.
All right. Name something that a parent does to try to get their baby to go to sleep.
Shaking.
Name a reason your child's teacher might call home from school.
Licking pavement.
Shut up. Name something no Christmas party should be without.
Eggnog.
And name something that people time.
Game shows.
Those are his five answers. And he got them in 20 seconds.
Well, he didn't take it seriously.
Well, you know.
It's not fun if you're doing. This isn't Match Game where you're trying to give the funny answer. You're trying to win.
Well, you said that's shower.
Huh?
You said shower.
I swear on my child's life.
At the office?
The shower answer was under pressure and a F up. That was not that was not an attempt at humor.
All right. Here we go. Pony's recap. Give me a nickname for someone who is careful with their money. He said.
Stingy.
Ah, good for 21 points right there. 21. The number one answer? Cheap.
Okay.
Cheap. That's a great nickname.
Ruffo, yeah. Do the math and keep the running total so we know how much he has.
All right.
Question two. Name something that a parent does to try to get their baby to sleep. He said?
Shake the baby.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I meant this. Not a good answer. The number one answer? Singing. Singing is the number one answer there.
Oh.
All right. Name a reason your child's teacher might call home from school. He said?
Licking the pavement.
And he's a dick. No points there. Number one answer, right. Mike, you want to guess?
What is it again? Give me the question again.
Name something. I'm sorry. Name a reason your child's teacher might call home from school.
He's in trouble.
Bad behavior. The number two answer. Number one answer, sickness. Sickness.
Is like all right. Yeah. And we got to wait till Monday. Please remind me that we have to get Robert the Third throwing up in the bathtub.
Sleepwalking vomiting. I got to get to the bottom of it too. Yeah.
We do your research over the weekend. We'll have a full report on Monday.
All right. Question number four. Name something no Christmas party should be without. He said.
Eggnog.
Amazingly. I mean, and literally amazingly, number one answer, 23 points.
Wow.
I hate eggnog. And I've tried to make it.
What's his total, Ruffo?
His total is 44. He needs a total of 56 points to get to the magic 100 for his grand prize.
Name something that people time.
He said? Game shows.
I'm sorry, not on the board. Number one answer, races.
Yeah.
Yeah, like black people, white people.
No. Like a running race, like a horse race.
I don't do a lot of sports. So anyway,
right, we're running 44 points. Give me one more.
One more fast money. We're going to do the fast money thing as we play The Feud.
Right. Let's welcome the white family. All right, 20 seconds on the board. The clock begins, Mike, with your first answer as we play Fast Money. Mike.
Yes.
Name the worst thing to lose while on vacation.
Your wallet.
Name a job you suspect a muscular person might have.
Construction worker.
Name something people frequently use Google to search for.
Doctor.
Name something people should do every day, but some people don't.
Shower.
Name something you delete.
Your.
No! Answer it. You said your. What were you going to say?
Address.
Okay, very good. Those are your answers, and let's now see how he did. He needs 100 points to win the trip to Herndon. Here we go. Oh, it's Aruba? You going to Aruba? His first question, name the worst thing to lose while on vacation. Mike said?
Wallet.
Number one answer with 56 points.
Oh, I'm halfway there.
Yes, you are.
I'm halfway there.
Name another great reaction I'd love to see on Family Feud. Oh, la, la,
la, la, la, la. Hi, Steve. Are you proud of me? Anyway.
All right. Name a job you suspect a muscular person might have.
I said construction worker.
Thank you.
Oh, construction worker.
Can we get you a coffee or something?
I was waiting for the prompt.
Now, you just fell asleep again.
No, I was waiting for the prompt.
Sometimes we were trying to establish a kind of rhythm. He said construction worker. Number one answer, podcaster. Podcaster. Not really. The number one answer, construction worker.
Oh, I got it.
36 points.
I'm almost there.
Which puts you at 90-2. Name something that people frequently use Google to search for. Mike said?
Doctor.
The best I can give you, Mike, is medical symptoms. 6 points.
Doesn't count. No,
okay, no, okay.
That. It's a Z. Right. That's a bagel.
All right, number one answer, porn.
Porn, of course.
Yes.
How foolish I've been.
So if you need to find Daryl Nichols.
Yeah.
Just by the way, right on Google.
Featured in News You May Not Need Today. We got a porn story in there.
Excellent. Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Name something people should do every day, but some people don't. Mike said?
Shower.
Shower is good for 14 points. And that Mike, that's enough. That puts you at the top. And your final answer, just so we know, name something that you delete. You said address?
Uh-huh.
Not on the board. Number one answer, browser history.
Browser history related to
related
porn.
To porn. Mike, you are indeed the king of fast money.
That's fabulous. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hope you're enjoying your Fast Friday, everybody.
97 Wave.
It was 20 years ago today. No, actually, it was 50 years ago that the Beatles released Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band right here in the United States.
My show.
And to celebrate, there's a brand new version of the album, and you can get it in a $150 box set. Well, I don't want you wasting your money. I want you wasting your time. Waste your time by tuning into Rob Radio this Saturday morning when I play the entire album for you absolutely free. You'll hear the brand new stereophonic version of Sgt. Pepper's as produced by Giles Martin in its entirety. Plus, much more of the greatest music ever made. Check out Rob Radio Saturday morning in Ocean City on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station, or worldwide at www.971thewave.com. It's the Rob Spiewak Show, and a splendid time is guaranteed for all.
Rob Spiewak!
It's a great show. Time is guaranteed on that show for one.
I will send you an email and a text on Saturday morning, Mike. You know what will be great? Let's get on the phone and listen together.
I have supported this show. I continue to support this show. The Rob Spiewak Show on 97.1 The Wave. That is going to be Jerk Down, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. Yes, sir.
How dare you call me a jerk as I make that a little softer.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. No, it'll be good. So we've told you about Cornerstone First Financial. You know that they are office mates. We love Cornerstone First Financial. Rob, these people have been our landlords here at Wisconsin Avenue for the life of the show that we since we moved it downtown.
What I love about this client is that long before they were a client, they're friends. They're just good guys. Yeah. Always helpful, always nice, and good neighbors to have.
Very good people. Rates are still low, and this could be the right time to let Cornerstone First Financial help you save money every month. Our friends at Cornerstone will be able to get you through the process quickly and easily and show you the best way to free up some money for what you really need. You could be sitting on enough money right now to clear out that high-interest credit card debt or for those home improvements you've been putting off. Cornerstone First Financial. But by the way, Can I say this? I know it's in the copy, but I have to tell you, and two very smart things to do. Not only, you know, I've been around the block a few times.
Yes,
and
let me tell you,
I always seem to do real well when I consolidate debt and when I improve things in the home. Don't go buying yourself a Rolex, okay?
Yeah, Mike.
Cornerstone First Financial will guide you to the best financial plan and get you there fast. Click the banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or call 202-625-1221. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Cornerstone First Financial, making sure that you have the ability to explore every opportunity in the best and smartest way possible, and we thank you.
News!
Hey, guys, it's National Donut Day. Yay!
I saw this on television, and all I thought is how DJs love National Donut Day.
National Donut Day, a bunch of donut places are giving out free donuts for National Donut Day.
Here's a great news. We sent Carl Fippinger, the Danger Boy, down to the donut store to hand out donuts.
And he said, no can do, Pachango. I'm going to a Donald Trump rally.
I brought a dozen glazed donuts to a Make America Great Again rally.
You can get free donuts at Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kremes. Just check the locations to make sure before you go down there. Otherwise, you may be in a world of disappointment.
Limit one poor customer. Now let's look at traffic.
The Salvation Army started it in 1938 to honor a group of women who were handed out donuts to soldiers in World War I to boost morale.
We are now going to talk to a 102-year-old lady who handed out donuts in 1939.
My cousin Orville was going to fight in WW1. He got his right arm blown off, but with his left arm, he enjoyed a crispy donut.
All right, there we go. Thank you.
National Donut Day.
National Donut Day. Rick Moranis is coming out of his virtual retirement to reteam with Dave Thomas, and if you grew up in the 80s, you probably know what that means. That's right, That's right, Bob and Doug McKenzie are back, ladies and gentlemen.
I was so happy to see this. They are so great.
It's only for one show. They're going to do their Bob and Doug shtick at a July 18th benefit concert in Toronto. It's for Dave's nephew who got into a snowmobiling accident in January. How nice for them to do that, and generous and cool. He's paralyzed from the waist down. They're going to help him out. Rick and Dave created Bob and Doug for the Canadian sketch series SCTV, and a lot of former cast members are doing the benefit too. Martin Short, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Joe Flaherty. That's getting on a plane and flying to Toronto.
I would fly for that. You know what's amazing is that SCTV had a much shorter run than Saturday Night Live.
Right.
But there's no seeming animosity between any of the principals. They all love each other. And let's take a Bob and Doug moment here.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what? Yeah,
listen to this. It's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Solo.
Okay, solo. Everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh,
eh?
Get out. It is not.
All right, that's enough of that.
Solo.
Thank you very much. Let's move on. Kathy Griffin really stepped in it. She knows that even her apology wasn't enough, so she's holding a press conference. Mistake. Kathy. Hey, stupid. Kathy. Put a sock in it, Kathy. You have to shut your mouth for a while. You have to go into a cave for a while. You have to go away for a good long time, Kathy. I know, Kathy, with your manicness and your B-list celebrity thing that you're going to try to fix it, it's not going to work.
This makes me feel that the whole thing was a desperate grab for publicity, and she knew it from the front.
This is crap. She's holding a press conference 9 a.m. California time, I believe. It might be on now. I'm not sure. Her attorney says they will, quote, explain the true motivation behind the image. No, you can't. God, so... God. I mean, she's a wrecking ball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got to live with the consequences and then try to come back by playing small comedy clubs. I'm sorry. There's your world now, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
You stepped in it. It's really tough. Here's what the quote says. Explain the true motivation behind the image and respond to the bullying from the Trump family she has endured. Bullying?
What?
You are talking about a man who that Cheeto-colored douche. I am not a fan. You know that, okay?
What?
But this Kathy is so way out of line on this, and it's so dumb. Anyway, she's trying. I guess she thinks this is going
to. Well, Mike, the best way to handle a bad mistake is another mistake.
Yeah, and she's stupid. And the lawyer doesn't care. Lori's going to print the money.
Right.
Remember the original Most Interesting Man in the World we used to do shtick on?
Yeah,
definitely.
Jonathan Goldsmith, he has a new book coming out called Stay Interesting. I don't always tell stories about my life, but when I do, they're true and amazing. Well, he does indeed have some great stories. Those Dos Equis commercials really were the biggest break he ever got. But he's been a working actor since the early 60s, seems to be the theme of today's show.
Yeah.
And he's also quite the swordsman. Listen to this. In fact, he used to hang out at a coffee shop inside. I love it. By the way, that is my favorite term for a guy that likes
Although, you know, a close second, and you've used it before, is a C. Smith.
A C-Smith. Yeah, that's the dirty one. That's the one I'd use on the bonus show.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
The swordsman. Though. He used to hang out at a coffee shop inside the Wilshire Hotel in Beverly Hills because Warren Beatty lived in the penthouse, so hot women were always showing up there hoping to meet him. He would score with them by saying, "Hi, are you waiting to see Warren? Warren's tied up at the moment, but he asked me to buy you a drink." Genius!
Oh, my God. No, how brilliant is that? Working the spillage.
Goldsmith's many conquests include one of Groucho Marx's wives, Henry Fonda's mistress. This
is too. What, does he only hit on 60 plus?
Well, he's 60 plus.
I suppose you're right.
Two congressmen's wives, and here's the biggie. This is his claim to fame, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Tina Louise, Ginger from Gilligan's Island.
Whoa. Still Trey doable.
Here's his quote. "She was the most beautiful woman I ever had been with. She had such great stamina.
Oh.
I was afraid I would have a heart attack by the third or fourth round. She refused to stop." That is fantastic.
You know what the amazing thing I read about Tina Louise is her IUD was made out of a coconut.
There he goes. Skipper! Skipper! Google released a study a few days ago that showed what word people in every state have the most trouble spelling. This became a very, very
yes.
big national story. Wisconsin being the most famous one because they looked up how to spell Wisconsin.
It's a tricky word.
That's right. Make America Spell Again. They went through their data and found the most common misspellings in every state. Well, they've been one-upped by Pornhub. They have gone through Pornhub and come up with the most misspelled searches for porn. There are 16 states where people keep typing in porn.
Porn.
Family Dollar porns. Ohio and Nevada have trouble with MILF. And they keep typing in mythil. Wyoming, New Mexico, and Kentucky leave out one of the E's in threesome. So I guess
threesome.
Threesome. Nebraska, Texas, and Louisiana are most likely to type in lesbium.
Lesbium. Family Dollar lesbium.
Lesbium. And finally, people in Minnesota keep on searching for porn featuring a stepmon. Hey, Yaman, where's your stepmon? There
the
we
typos,
go.
The typos, one-handed typing.
Yes,
yeah. Stop it.
Thank you, Rofo. That was filthy. And now a little something.
Who's in the bed, my brother?
My brother. Officers evacuated a 7-Eleven in Beaverton, Oregon Tuesday after a suspicious object exploded inside the convenience store's microwave. According to police, the object turned out to be a urine sample that was wrapped in a hand warmer. It appears that whoever was on his or her way to do a drug test did not feel that it was warm enough. So they decided to microwave it at 7-Eleven. The chemical makeup of the hand warmer did not agree with the microwave, and it exploded. Police say they will review security camera footage from the 7-Eleven to find out who left the cup in the microwave. All I know is that police talked to the manager of the store, and he was pissed. Okay, thank you. That's all I got.
Hey, I say, you know what? I'd say that's a pretty good ending for the week right there.
Been a long, short week. We'll take a break. Come back with a abbreviated version of the little tails, little sounds.
My little tails?
I'm sorry. I'm at the finish line.
I understand.
Rob Spiewak's Audio Ball. When we come back on the Mike Emery Show.
Hey, Rob. You graduated with honors, and I'm swamped with finals. Can you help me with my homework?
You bet, Ashley. What's up?
Find the integral of e to the negative x squared.
Ah, the integral of e to... Well, with the e and the... negative is going to be of... you have a number line. Negative with what you got to do is a number line.
I think I'll just order the book through Amazon.
Well, if you think that's best.
If you need anything, even help with homework, be sure to click the Amazon tab through our website at michaelmaroshow.com.
I'm more of an English guy.
That's acting. You know, I can't believe you were in theater arts with that quality of acting.
I sent it to Frank Deal, but it bounced back. I don't know what
Frank
happened.
Frank would kick you right out of Juilliard with that performance. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, featuring our bonus package. They got a great one with the interns.
Great show.
Do you
this
already
week.
Subscribe? If so, thank you. If you don't, listen up. You need to know that it's the bonus show that makes TMOS possible. That is the truth. We are constantly trying to get more of you to jump on board the bonus shows. It happens, but it's happening too slowly. Please, please, please know this is a little engine that we keep going for you folks. And if you really want this show to continue, the future of our show depends on you supporting us by buying our bonus content. That's all there is to it. It's the most fun we have each week. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click on the bonus banner. For pennies a day, you'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS to continue for years to come. Plus, it's going to be the best hour of your week, I guarantee it. Check out the TMOS bonus show and enjoy it today. Let's open up the audio vault for Friday. Is this June 2nd already?
It is the second day of June, yeah.
My goodness, 20 days to 58 years old.
Ah, yeah. But
or am I going to be 59? Am I going to be 58 or 59?
I think you're going to be 59.
58.
58?
Yeah. But 58, yeah.
But we're not doing presents, right?
No, we can't. It's forbidden.
That's right. It's verboten. Right.
That is the rule. That's I right. insist.
Mike loves a rule breaker. Wonderful.
Let me get comfortable while I listen to your sound.
I'm going to get Mike. I'd like to take a moment now and present to you my little tales. I think you will enjoy them. Congratulations.
I'll be over here.
I always love your off mic work.
Oh, can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
On Monday's show.
Yes.
Let me get over here.
Yeah.
On Monday's show.
Yes, Your Highness.
Bear with me. I am having hardwood floor put into this studio.
Oh, that's right. That happens tomorrow, right?
I'm going to do my level best to... I've had... This carpeting has been destroyed by Frankie.
Yeah.
That little... Excuse me.
Hey, that's a new one.
So, you know, it's going to be a different sound. But just understand, I'm doing the best I can here.
Hey, Mike, how about this? Tune in on Monday for the new sound. Of the Mike O'Mara show.
Okay.
Do you remember that promo that you ran on WAVA for a long time? It was the new sound.
It's the new sound of WAVA.
It was same as the old sound. All right. Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors who last night destroyed the Cavaliers who said.
God, did they kill him.
The Cavaliers took a very Cavalier attitude about it. If we win, it's fine, you know. But it was.
You've been using that joke too long.
Too long? I think it's on the bounce back. 113-91, but my favorite moment is when announcer Jeff Van Gundy ignored a massive shot because he saw Rihanna.
Pass inside. Tristan Thompson finds James. A lot of thunderous dunks here in the opening period.
I don't know about this, but Rihanna just walked in front of me. Are you kidding me?
Stay what are you doing, man?
Stay with the game.
LeBron makes a spectacular play like this, and that's what you deal with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a play.
Hey, what's the score?
Oh, my God.
So there's that.
Hey, did you get any mail about your You've Got Mail guy?
Got a couple messages. I apologize when I do, 1,000 audio vaults with 10 elements in every audio vault. I guess I made a misstep. Sorry, guys. Sorry, I wrecked 14 seconds of your week.
Would you like to explain what happened? You played an audio vault that you had played yourself.
Yes, I had played.
It's not like the sound was just old from a guy. That was one you had actually played on the audio vault.
Yeah, and probably about 2 years ago. It slipped my mind is what happened.
I just thought I'd mention it.
Thanks. Mike, I want you to hear something. Do you have a moment?
Yeah,
I know you're busy.
Right here.
This is my TikTok. I want you to hear it.
There it is.
You like that? It's nice, isn't it? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I already played that. Didn't mean to run a rerun.
Are you saying that playing the ticking sound again would be the equivalent of playing a featured sound on your audio vault that you had played previously?
What I'm saying is that I believe that.
Are you diminishing
that,
the people that were concerned?
Oh, I'm diminishing everyone who has anything bad to say about what I do. Anybody and everybody. And I believe, I don't want to point anyone out in specific terms, but hey, Chris Berger, it must be nice.
Hey,
okay?
Does it piss you off? Does it piss you off the way I would? Do you react the same way that I would react to somebody saying, my Stevie Wonder sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is that the kind of the similar
I think so. I mean,
I would really light my candle.
I would say that what happens is the audio vault is a lot of content every week. And right. People send me stuff. over and over again. I see certain clips. I hear certain clips from listeners hundreds of times. And I'm not saying don't send them. I love when you send them.
Right.
But sometimes my mind gets a little cluttered. And there
so
are
you
times.
Keep it all up in the inner government?
Sometimes if I doubt myself, I will go and double check. And because, you know, I have every audio vault cataloged by day going back right. to going back actually to the terrestrial show. I have them all. Everyone has a folder. But that one did not ring. That did not ring as a rerun to me. And I apologize.
Well, let me tell you, if we get 40% subscription on the bonus show, I'm going to get you a personal secretary.
Awesome. Cool.
There you go.
I would like that. Can it be Rob Ford?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like great in a skirt.
He debuts a new female voice on the Tony Perkins show this week.
What? Can we get a taste?
Amanda. Amanda Ford.
Hi, this is Amanda.
My God Almighty!
Subscribe on iTunes.
That's
the
right.
Tony Perkins Show.
It's a free podcast.
Google Play.
I love you, Tony.
Get on it.
I love you, Tony. Love you, Rofo.
There is
Hi,
a
Gary.
Would you say? Would you say there's a lot going on in the world of news right now? I think I would.
It's pretty
mean, it's horrifying to turn on the evening news, and yet. This seemed to be the hottest story yesterday on television.
It is Thursday, June 1st.
Cannot believe it, can you?
You believe it is June 1st already.
Hard to believe it's June already, right?
Hard to believe June 1st is already here.
Hard to believe today is June 1st.
I can't believe it's already June.
Can you believe it's June 1st already?
It's hard to believe it's June 1st.
Hard to believe it's June 1st.
I can't believe it's June.
I know, June 1st.
I cannot believe it's June 1st.
Cannot believe that it's already June 1st.
Hard to believe it's June already.
I'll save you the additional 30 seconds of that.
Didn't I say it sort of in a minute?
Yeah,
ago?
But
is it
also,
June 2nd
Mike,
already?
I will say this. You are not a network newscast.
No, that's
We're
true.
A podcast, and that's what they're
much.
Leading with. Seems yeah, to me right. other stuff was going on yesterday. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would have stacked it different. Mm-hmm. You mentioned 7-Eleven in the news. There's a 7-Eleven in Boston. It's owned by Abu Musa, and he had to break his. Stop it. That's not the joke.
Oh, by the way, on a related subject, I'm not bringing them all together, but congratulations to Ananya Vinay, the spelling champ. I watched the spelling bee last night.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you able to keep up?
It is stunning.
It is.
I mean stunning, the level of intellect these kids have. These words are, don't even think about even attempting to be in their league. These kids are prodigies. Every single one of them, and a little off.
It was sad when Ananya Vinay misspelled porn.
Yeah,
she spelled it porm.
P-O-R-M.
Derivation, is there an alternate pronunciation, please?
But you were talking about a 7-Eleven, and
yes.
I should not tie this young lady just because she might be of Indian extraction.
I think Abu Musa probably is a wonderful speller as well, but I don't know that. He had to break his contract for his 7-Eleven franchise because he refused to sell hot dogs because they just weren't selling. He said, it's stupid for me to do hot dogs if they don't sell. But 7-Eleven said you had to do it. So he broke the contract and he opened a 612 instead of a 7-Eleven.
All right.
And here he is to explain why he did that.
Whenever, whatever they want, they can bring in their store. And we have no option, no choice. We have to accept it because they said you signed the paperwork.
And who can argue with that? I have no idea what he said.
I think he said, I Brexited.
Let's hear it one more time.
Whenever, whatever they want, they can bring in their store. And we have no option, no choice. We have to accept it because they said you signed the paperwork.
You got it right. I had no idea what he was saying.
There is no way that we are going to linger over this. This is ridiculous. We are Brexiting them. I am going to Brexit from the 7-Eleven Corporation and start my own 612. That's right. Hot dogs are not big selling. So what you've got over here is some naan bread with just a tiny bit of peanut butter spread over the top of it.
So, Mike, the next time you're in Boston, I invite you to go and get a Slurpee. Let us close with this. You know, when they do the NBA Finals on ABC, they have Jimmy Kimmel's Game Night, which is it's a Jimmy Kimmel show that is either before or after the game, depending on which coast you're on. Kevin Hart was the guest last night. He told the best story about getting a dog that I've ever heard.
Growing up, okay. I had a dog for 15 minutes. No, I'm not playing. My dad stole a dog and lied and acted like it was our dog. He stole a grown dog. It wasn't even like a baby dog. This is before rescuing dogs was a thing. This is just a grown, like, dog. He showed up. He's like, y'all been asking for a dog. I got y'all a dog. And he's like, what's his name? He just made up a name. He's like, Fats. He's like, you know, we as kids, he's like, oh, my God, I love you, Fats. And then somebody knocked on the door.
Oh, no.
And like, when they knocked on the door, they was like, yo, man, you just came in our yard and took our dog. My dad was just standing there. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it was like, our dog is right there by your leg.
So Kevin Hart had a dog for 15 minutes. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.